Meeting has been started. Please proceed.
Thank you, Abby. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Translation and Transliteration of Contact PDP Working Group on the 7th of May, 2015. On the call today, we have Chris Dillon, Amar Elstar, Sarah Baki, Roger Carney, Jim Galvin, and Justine Chu. I show apologies from Petter Reinforth. From staff, we have Lars Hoffman, Julie Hedman, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Chris.
Thank you very much indeed. That means we can move into agenda item 3, which is the statement of interest. So basically, if yours has changed since our last meeting, then please mention that now. Hearing nothing and seeing nothing in the chat room, I think that means we can move into agenda item 4, which is the last version of the public comment review tool. And you're probably wondering why we're looking at the charter. And it is actually the right document to have on the. I think it might be. Oh, yeah, it might have been the right document to have. But anyway. It's not actually turned into the review tool. Now, basically, what I've done is I went, I went through last week's meeting, and I added all of the edits that we made during last week's meeting to the document. Also, you're probably looking at the document thinking, this looks really different. And the reason it looks different is because I removed the two agreement columns. So it just makes it, it just gives a lot more space, and I hope it makes it easier to read. So one of the things that comes out of it, I'm actually not intending to spend very much time on this document this week, because I'm hoping that basically, it really is just the result of adding what we agreed last week. However, one thing is quite clear. As soon as you start to read this document, you just get the same phrase coming up again and again, and this is the phrase, not in scope. And the reason I was thinking that we had the charter up before was that I think Lars would like to say something about the scope of this, and I guess the reason the charter was that it was something to do with what Lars wanted to say. But anyway, Lars, would you like to do that piece now?
That'd be great. Thank you so much, Chris.
Okay, thank you.
Lars, for the record, I pull back the charter back up. Thanks for giving me the floor, Chris. The reason is, if you recall from last week, we had I expressed some concern, is a big word, but we spoke about the scope of the working group with regard to a couple of points that came up in the common review tool. And I went back to the charter to kind of look into this in a little bit greater detail. I was particularly interested in issues related to the tagging, to the possibility of having two sets of data entry possibilities so that the system would be able to cope with two sets of data entries if so wished or needed, and also the machine readability. That I think if you go to the common review tool, there are points 27, 23, and 46, respectively. Though I obviously appreciate discussion on scope, and it's very important, and I completely agree with the points raised that we shouldn't go beyond what we are chartered to do. I just wanted to point the group's attention to. I'm going to scroll down here for a second to the charter where it says. Page 2 there, the two questions that we're considering. And just above it says, in fact, should consider at the minimum these two questions, so that obviously would open up a little bit of wriggle room, if you want. I believe that's a technical term. And there's another issue, and I will release this in a moment if you want to go through by yourself. If you see here on page 4, there's a few points or suggested outcomes that the AID working group pointed out in their report. The last one, especially the end user of the registration data, translate and transliterate the contact information. So that's essentially something that we would potentially recommend, that data is entered in the original form, and the consumer of that that data would need to translate and transliterate themselves. And then if you read the next line, the PDP will not be limited to considering the above alternatives, but will be encouraged to consider all possible alternatives. Again, giving a little bit more more rigor room and a little bit of maybe a wider scope than just the two narrow questions. I appreciate that this might obviously be subject to interpretation, and there will certainly be different opinions on that. But I'm especially on those three points that would, that the marking of fields that they're easily recognizable and the machine readability. I just feel that they're really good suggestions that the group has come up with, and if there is general support to recommend something along this, and the only reason to not doing that would be scope, I'm wondering that based on these two formulations, the group couldn't go back to GNSS Council and to kind of clarify whether these issues could be considered in or out of scope. And I would encourage the group to do that, rather than to potentially pounce onto a future PDP that might take obviously considerable time to be established and to conclude. I leave it at that. I just wanted to put that out there. I see Arma already has got his hand up. Thank you for the floor, Chris. And if you have any questions, obviously I'm here.
Extremely sympathetic to this point of view. Arma, would you like to raise some point?
Thanks, Chris. Yes, Summer, and thanks for that, Lars. I have two points I'd like to make right now. The first one is, when we were drafting this charter, several members of the charter drafting team had expressed a desire to sort of look further into the data elements in contact information, whether there were certain elements within those that may want to be transformed as opposed to others, and possible solutions. At the time, the impression we were given, and maybe Julie can correct me if I'm mistaken, because she worked with the charter drafting team, we were given the impression that there would be another PDP that would address these issues. Now this leads to my second point, which is, based on this understanding, we haven't really delved too deeply into these issues. I mean, we've considered them, I would say we've considered them rather superficially, and we haven't done as much work as we would need to, I think, to provide actual PDP recommendations or policy recommendations. But that for me right now is a bigger concern than just the fact that it is out of scope. So although we do have some ideas that I personally believe may be valuable and that are worthy for consideration, I think that there is still more work that needs to be done on these issues. And I think this opinion was also reflected in several of the public comments that were submitted. So that's another reason why I would think that it would be better to sort of punt these to another PDP rather than take care of them here. If we do want to get into that here, I think we would have to prolong the work of this PDP working group and maybe come out with another report and open it up for public comments and maybe somehow inform the community that we are going beyond the scope that we had were determined to go through initially, and we may actually need extra expertise and opinions and input on what we may be recommending. But for now, I still believe that it would be a good idea for the final report of this PDP working group to say that we've considered these things, we think that there is possible potential value in them, and we think that another PDP should look into those more carefully. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Lars, I can see you've got your hand up. Would you like to get back to that?
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, just very briefly, thank you very much for Alma, for their comment. Obviously appreciate that, and understand that you know, the scope is obviously somewhat limited, even with that language. The reason why I think on those particular points on the marking, if you want, or making fields easily recognizable, well, that's taken any other way, and the machine readability, is that I would disagree that would go beyond the scope, simply because it's I would see that as a qualification of the recommendation. So if the group says transliteration and translation should not be mandatory, however, to facilitate, because at the moment, obviously, who is mainly in ASCII. So if we recommend that with a future who is system would intake other scripts than ASCII, we would recommend that those scripts are machine readable and that they're easy identifiable. So it would be. Could at least be interpreted as a qualification of our overarching recommendation. Can I leave it at that? Thank you.
Thank you, Alf. Amma, would you like to reply to that?
Yeah, thanks, Chris, and I'll keep it short this time. I do agree with the intent of those recommendations. And I do think that they are worthy to look into. But like I said, I don't think we've done enough work on them. But I disagree with framing them as qualifications to the recommendation of not having mandatory transformation. For me, this decision is irrespective of whether we make those other recommendations on machine readability or tagging different fields or marking them in different languages. So I would disagree on that point, but I would again say that the intent of those recommendations, I think, are good ones, and I think they should be explored more thoroughly than we have done. Thanks.
Thank you very much for that. All right. So I think some... I don't know what people feel on this issue. Whether anybody else wants to raise some things, or in fact express agreement with Amma or Lars on it. Okay. Jim, would you like to raise something?
So, thank you, Chris. This is Jim Galvin. This I'm not sure who I specifically agree directly with. Let me first thank Lars for calling out the opportunity when he went back to the charter and was making some notes. I would state my position is as follows. In general, I'm more inclined to want to provide, a final solution, if you will. So what I mean by that is I don't want us to set things up so that there has to be yet another PDP with yet another detailed investigation of what's going on. I mean, I appreciate that we're near closure here, but if we really are taking questions which we're just going to declare out of scope because we're looking to finish, that just doesn't feel right to me. I'd rather see us take the opportunity to talk to the council and explore whether or not those questions, could or should be relevant. And I guess that means we probably have to form our own opinion about what we would like from the council in that regard, so that, we can provide an answer here that's relatively complete and doesn't require additional work. I'd rather see us do that than set ourselves up to, push this out even longer with additional study from an additional team. Thank you.
Thank you. One aspect which I would like to raise over the marking issue is that in some ways, often we have spoken about marking as being something which is desirable, whether or not there is mandatory transformation. So the idea would be, whichever way that decision goes, that at least the field would be in the database for anybody who did who did want to do it. And I think certainly reading the first draft of the final document, some of the arguments in that earlier today, I was aware that setting up fields like that is of itself, that is actually spending money. So perhaps we have to be a little bit careful about suggesting things which cost unknown amounts of money. So that that was just a bit of an impression I had from reading earlier on. So just adds a slight layer to the complexity. I'll just have a bit of a look at the chat room because there are a few comments in here. Actually, there are one or two things I want to pick up as well. So Ammo is saying in there, I haven't had a chance to look over the documents. I feel I need to apologize to you. A lot was happening this week, and we were working on two different files, and I distributed them rather late. So I'm sorry about that. Obviously, we'll try and make as much progress as we can with the rest of the meeting. Also, he's saying, public comments, especially from contracted parties, indicate to me that more work is necessary before these recommendations are made. I think it may to some extent depend on the recommendation there. I like the way Chris puts this, that marking machine readability is desirable. Of course, now I've qualified my stance a little bit on marking. I don't like the idea of suggesting something without knowing how much it's going to cost. Now, machine readability is another matter. So, the idea of having a database where you've got data in there which can't be read by a machine feels a seriously bad thing to do, and funnily enough, possibly more difficult because I think often in databases it's more difficult to have images in there than to have data. Images tend to take up more space. Maybe there are other forms of data which are not machine readable, but perhaps slightly different stances on those two. I can see Justine is typing something, but perhaps. I think this is where things go. Perhaps it's a good idea to wait, because the next thing after looking at the charter we're going to be doing is a brief look at the review tool. Justine is saying, do we have an idea of how much more work is required to consider the marking question? And Lars, I'm hoping you may have some information on this subject. But
thanks, Chris. Yes, this is Lars for the record. To just briefly speak on to Justine's question. So there is the IDN EWG report that has been out for public comment and that we've discussed in this group. If you look at the system they propose, I believe that the fact that the input will be automatically, Jim will be much better to explain this technically, but I'm giving it a whirl. The input will be transformed, if you want, automatically into a Uniscript, And the Uniscript has, as part of it, a tagging that indicates the script of the language. So whatever we recommend or not, information that will go into the post IDN EWG whose system will be always identifiable, at least the script will be, automatically, regardless of the outcome of this group. As far as language scripting tagging is concerned, that may or may not be necessary, obviously, because for transliteration, you, and Chris might intervene here very swiftly, but for transliteration, the script already gets you a very long way, I believe. So I'm going to leave it at that, but for sure, script marking is, if you want, built into the future system by definition.
Thank you, Lars. Now, okay, so if we're talking about the script of incoming data, so a registrant writes some contact information in the Arabic script. Now, this is actually not very helpful because although, you know, typically Arabic may be used, Arabic script may be used to write the Arabic language, but it may also be used to write the Urdu language or the Farsi language or probably lots of them, but not probably, many other languages. So, you know, this is a big issue, possibly larger issue with Romanization and, the Latin alphabet and the Cyrillic alphabets, both of which are used for huge numbers of languages. And so just knowing, oh yeah, this is Cyrillic, yeah, typically it might be, it's likely to be Russian or Ukrainian or Bulgarian, but there are lots of less likely Mongolian, could be Mongolian, it could be all sorts of things. So, yeah, there's, you know, there's really nothing like actually saying, yeah, okay, this is the Arabic script, but it's actually Urdu language or something like that. So that's, you know, we really need to know what language that script is being is being used for. And I'll come back to the chat room and just pick up a few things which people are mentioning. So, Sarah, we use this word marking because we were worried that tagging was limiting us to, in a way that we didn't necessarily want it to be limited. So the idea behind using the word marking is that here we are wriggling. We're just saying, you know, we need to know what this language is, and, you know, if tagging is the best way to do that, great. But if there's a better way, even better. So that's what's going on there. Ben Ammer has a comment which looks interesting, and he's speaking to Lars and saying, not necessarily. Until last week, I wasn't aware that Armenian has its own script. Okay. There are some relatively small languages with totally individual scripts. That's certainly a phenomenon out there. Also, occasionally you get a language like you get a script like Cyrillic, which, you know, typically it's probably used for Slavic languages, Slavonic languages, but it just happened to be used for Mongolian, which is not at all Slavonic or Slavic in any sense. So, and moreover, you can get situations where a script is used, so the same language has different scripts that can be used to represent it. And what we used to be called, often there's a political dimension, so what used to be called Serbo-Croat has, generally speaking, turned into, nowadays people speak more about Serbian and Croatian as separate languages. And they aren't totally the same because they're actually different dialects. And the Serbian is usually written in Cyrillic, and Croatian is usually written in Latin. The Cyrillic, which is used for Serbian, is quite peculiar, and they've got some really, well, I say peculiar, they've got some really nifty letters, which in normal, well, Russian Cyrillic, you have to write, you know, a consonant, then the soft sign, but in Serbian it's really neat because you've got the consonant and the soft sign together in one letter. So it's in some ways rather an improvement, I think. But anyway, Japanese breaks all the... this is a comment in the chat room. Japanese breaks all sorts of rules because Japanese, for a very long time, many hundreds of years... oh, no, that isn't actually true. Whoops. Japanese used to be written a very long time ago just using Chinese characters, but this was really inefficient, so they then created two different sorts of syllabaries, one used by monks and one used by ladies in the court. And then eventually modern Japanese, these three systems were all brought together, and so Japanese has a special excuse. Japanese, these people, they usually use three scripts to write their language at the same time, and that's even before they start using Arabic numbers or the Latin alphabet is actually also really... So on a bad day, it could be five scripts, but it's at least three, yes, and those are the names of them. So you've got the kanji, which are the Chinese characters, and you've got two sorts of kana. Hiragana was the one used in the court, and katakana was used by the monks. So that's the sort of slight detour that we linguists really love. But let us get back to things. Okay, I think I sense that we probably need to discuss this issue more and take the necessary decisions as a result of it, but probably it's a good time to move on and have a look at the, we'll have a brief look at the public comment review tool.
I switched the, this is last, sorry, Chris.
Yeah.
I'll put up the other document.
Yes, okay. Okay, more than anything else, I'm just putting this on the screen to give anybody who has read the updated document an opportunity to say, oh, you've missed something out, or why is that in there? You're welcome to do that now or to do that sometime during the week on the list. As far as I know, I did it immediately after last week's call, so as far as I know, it's an accurate record, but obviously it may well be the last version of this tool, which will appear as an appendix in the final report. So I'm really just raising this as an opportunity to pick up something. Amma, yes, would you like to say something about it?
Thanks, Chris. I did try to look into the input provided by Key Systems in row number one, and I see Justine is asking in the chat what accession means. I haven't really been able to figure out what Volker meant when he provided this comment, but my own interpretation would be, or my own impression would be, to possibly for us to understand this is to replace accession with a word like maybe like acquisition. So we'll read the burden of acquisition and understanding, or acquiring and understanding contact information, is best placed on the side of the beneficiary of such data. But that is just a guess on my part. I'm just trying to figure out what the message is actually trying to say here. Having said that, I'm not necessarily sure that it will alter much of our recommendation, because I think...
No, there are some things here where frankly, we've got a little bit stuck, and you know, the word accession is really not very clear. So, you know, I would, you know, I think certainly I would prefer something with a clear meaning rather than something we're not too sure about. So, you know, that edit certainly gets my okay. And you know, basically, what I'm going to say is that if there are similar things, then and it may also be incidentally that we want to change the wording of, because this is just full of not in scope. Depending on the outcome of our previous discussion, we may want to change that wording. But anyway, what I'll do is just keep a list of changes we want to make, and so it's actually looking as if the last version of this may be version 10 rather than version 9. And Amma is just saying in the chat that acquiring, yeah, I think simple English is often good, isn't it? Acquiring sounds good to me. Waiting for a couple of things to happen in the chat, and Lars, get ready to upload the final document, or the second draft of the final document. That's going up now. Oh yeah, and Justine is saying, oh yes, the word is missing. Thank you very much. Yeah, yes, thank you. There are probably some other typos in here, because after a time you just stop seeing things. Thank you for spotting that. And the problem is that, particularly with track changes, you can really lose. You're often looking at a document with many different colours, and it's really easy to get bad bad typos. So people are very welcome to raise anything like that. Just email me and I'll add it to the same list. All right, so as I was saying, I'm not intending today to spend a lot of time on that document, but people are really welcome to just check that I've not done anything too horrible with it before we sign it off. And what we can do, though, is have a look at the second version of the final report. This is the draft version. What I should have said to you when I sent this out yesterday was that some parts of it really are horribly incomplete and should possibly be in another document. It was that bad. And this, when I originally sent out the first draft of this document, I said, really the recommendation section is possibly better off in another document. And so when I sent out this second draft, actually I should have sent the same government health warning out with the document, saying, you know, really, we know that there are some parts of this that are really not very ready. So I forgot to do that when I sent it out rather hastily yesterday, in fact, but just to make clear that is very much the case. All right. As usual, you are very welcome to stop anywhere in the document, but I am not intending to stop until page 4, in fact. So I'm wondering if I've got control. I'm hoping you're now seeing it scrolling up, and I'm going to use my normal trick of going a little bit slowly so that if you happen to spot something, you can just indicate this. Lars, would you like to pick something up?
Yeah, just for clarification, Chris, it's currently unsynced, so everybody can do their own scrolling.
Uh-huh.
Won't see what you're doing.
I think it might be better if everybody was watching me scrolling, because that it just makes it a bit easier. If you can do that, that would be better, because it just that just means that we're all literally on the same page, and it just makes it easier for people to raise things. As I was saying, I'm not intending to stop until page 4, but I'm very persuadable. Okay, page 4. Now, what was I going to do about this? Oh, yeah. So So first of all, we've got to be inserted there, and that's probably going to be section 5.2, but it's the bit after that which I'd like to draw your attention to. If the GNSO Council approves the final report, ICANN staff will prepare a GNSO Council report which will accompany the final report to the ICANN board. And the reason I'm highlighting this is just that I think anything which gives us an idea of what's likely to happen next tends to be a good thing. So I'm just making sure that you are aware of that. And we've got the date wrong on page 4. Thank you for that, Sarah. Okay. Anything else about that, or shall we continue? I'm not going to stop until page 6, unless somebody convinces me I should. and Amo is saying he doesn't. Not sure. I understood my comment on page 4. So, what I was saying is that on page 4 we've just got a little bit of information about ICANN staff writing this council report, which will accompany the final report to the ICANN board. And what the reason I brought this up was just so that I think anything that we it's very, very good to know what's likely to happen next, and this little bit of this paragraph actually indicates what's likely to happen next, so that was why I was keen to raise it. So I think, you know, the more time you have to think about what's happening next, you see, passively you're getting ready for it, so sort of technique one uses in an exam, actually. And here we are on page 6. So exams all round me today, incidentally, at UCL. So I'm very much thinking exams, exams, exams. We're lucky we haven't, I haven't been told to shut up for making too much noise, in fact. Right, now, okay. We've got, I'm not going to do very much on page 6. Because this is basically just a quote, so we're quoting the charter here, so I think we really can't edit this even if we want to. Just, I mean, to some extent it is pointing out the sort of wiggle room that all possible alternatives, so this is actually what Lars was saying earlier, so it's nice to have it in there, but as I was saying, we can't actually edit this. Okay. And then we go a little bit further, it's just a very brief mention of something on page 7. So we're looking always at this new text. And again, this is just getting ready for the future, getting ready for likely next stages. It was only the last version of the draft final report that was subjected to a consensus call. So although this sentence is written in the past tense, when this report comes out, it will be so at the moment this is in the past tense, but it's actually talking about something which hasn't happened yet. By the time this comes out, this will be correct, but you may get a slight surprise when you read that sentence at the moment. On the next page, we have a column. Pascal's affiliation is not filled in, so I don't know whether anybody happens to know that, but that's just something I have flagged up during the proofreading. Then we go to page 10, I think.
Chris, Jim had just raised his hand. I don't know.
Jim, would you like to raise something?
Sure. Thank you. This is Jim for the transcript. I was just going to type it in the chat room, but as this thing was scrolling by, I suddenly noticed that we've got Sarmad Hussain listed as from ESSAC. But in fact, he's not an ESSAC member anymore. When he joined ICANN staff last year, he necessarily had resigned his membership. I'm not sure what the right way is to handle that in this document, but it occurs to me there's probably something that we need to say there or do differently. Thank you.
Thank you very much for identifying that. Yes, I knew passively that that had happened and just didn't spot it. It has a lot to do with him. Okay, so if we... Page 10. Now, there's quite a lot of explanation added here. I'm actually not intending to say anything about it, but I'll just leave it on the screen in case anybody does. But I think it's probably all right to continue. And this is actually the same on page 11. The explanatory text in there somewhere. I think mostly on page 11 it's just a few deletions, so I think there's probably not much we need. And thank you, Emma. He's suggesting suggestions, so he's making suggestions in the chat room that Pascal probably can be listed as an individual. That was my instinct as well. Thank you for that. And then, unless there's anything else, on page 11, I think we get to go to page 12, and this is a slower business, because I think there's quite a lot of text, and I think we need to go through this quite carefully, because basically this is the argument supporting mandatory transformation. These are additional arguments, so I think we have to be very careful that we are happy with them, correctly worded, and that they represent these arguments well. So, okay, we've got three things. I'll go through them rather slowly. The main burden, financial or otherwise, to provide data in ASCII should lie on the parties collecting and maintaining the information, i.e. registrar, registry reseller, because the maintenance of an accessible registration database is their responsibility and should be part of doing business. So with all of these arguments that we're going to look at now, we are not talking do we agree with these or not. We're just saying, does this argument exist? Is there a better way of phrasing it? So another argument, a monolingual monoscript whoist database would enable the listing of all domain names registered by a specific entity, e.g. identifying all domain names registered to a recently merged company. So that's the second possible addition. Amma, would you like to pick up something about either one of those additions?
Thanks, Chris Sommer. I'm perfectly fine keeping all the arguments in favor of mandatory transformation in the final report. However, it may be helpful for folks reading the report to be clear on the fact that we may want to put something here with this bullet that this PDP is not actually mandated to decide who will bear the burden, just who will make the decision on who will bear the burden. This bullet, although it's not an actual recommendation, it does present an argument on something that is slightly out of scope of this PDP, and maybe that should be somehow clarified. Thanks.
Thank you. It's very easy to forget that phrasing is quite unintuitive in some ways, and it's easy to fall over. Okay, so... Yeah, I think something will need to be added to make that clearer there. Yeah. I think that's fair enough, because it, you know, it is one of our main questions. All right. Then we have this other one, which is, transformation would facilitate identification of and response to fraudulent use of legitimate data for domain names belonging to another registrant using reverse query on identity valid data. All right, so hearing nothing else, I think we get to go quite a long way this time down to page 15. Too quickly, just in case somebody spots something. This actually. I think there's a slight versioning problem here. What is 15 in my version? Maybe 14 in yours, because I've got all the arguments printed out. I'm pretty sure. This stuff anyway at the bottom of page 14, not 15, probably needs to go, we need to go through it quickly. Amma is saying he's struggling with that last bullet we were talking about, so I'm just going to whiz back there quickly. Transformation would facilitate identification of and response to fraudulent use of legitimate data for domain names belonging to another registrant using reverse query or on identity valid data. So we've got fraudulent use of somebody else's data, and the idea is that transformation could make it easier to make that clearer, that there's skullduggery going on using reverse query. The wording is a little bit tortuous, so I'm really open to improvements. Wording here. Amma, would you like to raise something?
Yes, thanks, Chris. Maybe it would be helpful if someone could clarify how transformation would actually facilitate identification and response to this fraudulent use of data. I'm not sure I understand how that would happen, but maybe a clarification that could actually be added to the bullet point would make the argument clearer to those who read it. Thanks.
Yes, absolutely. This one is not brilliantly clear, and it would be really nice to do something to address that. Bullet text is drawn from comment number 70. Oh yes. Incidentally, additional text should be based on comments. And if you look in the margin in this version, you can see actually which comment it is, which is useful. And you know, we'll continue to do that. And that would be one for the IPC. But it's a shame Petra is not on the call today. All right. Basically this can go on a similar list. So I've got a list of stuff that needs to happen to the review tool. I've now got one for this document as well, so it's sitting on there. And as usual, I'm rather like an elephant as regards memory. So it's on the list, and so we can come back to that. Amma, would you like to pick something up?
Yeah, thanks, Summer. And thanks, Justine, for pointing that out. I just have a question. If we're going to include the public comment review tool as an annex to the report, and this language is available in the review tool along with a working group response to the comments. Is it actually necessary to have it in the language of the final report? Just wondering what folks think about that. Thanks.
Thank you. This touches on quite a complicated issue because I think often the comments in the review tool do need to be reflected in the report, and there may be some situations where you've got duplicate comments and you won't have, so it's not necessary to address particular comments if they're covered elsewhere. I also don't think it's necessary to use exactly the same wording. So I think we really just need to address the comments, but we're quite free just to do it in the best way we can think of. And Emma is writing, so will the working group response to this point also be included in the language of the final report? Yes, I mean, because because this argument is not particularly clear, then something does need to be done to basically to improve the text of the document. So yes, I mean, so, that does need to be changed, but it doesn't necessarily. That's actually a case of building on something that was in the review tool. So it's actually adding to it. It's sort of taking that as a suggestion and then addressing it. That's really what's happening. All right. Do similar things, but with the arguments on the other side. Or are there additional arguments on the other side? And again, I'll go quite slowly with these. The burden, financial and otherwise, of accessing and understanding contact information is best placed on the side of the beneficiary of such data, i.e. the data requester. So this is actually the mirror image of one of the arguments on the opposite side of the fence, which is more or less what we would expect. Incidentally, I am aware that we are running out of time, and maybe just leave a few minutes at the end to deal with any other business and things like that. And then we have requiring domain name holders to submit data in a script they are not familiar with, be it ASCII or any other, could potentially lead to contractual breaches beyond the registrant's control, as they would not be able to verify autonomously the transformed version of the data they submitted. So that's another additional argument. And we've got Emma asking in the chat room, so we'll... that's the old comment. It was something jumping around in there. Okay. I think rather than straying onto the next page, let's just have a quick look and see if there's a lot of stuff there. There isn't. Actually, we can do that. Emma, would you like to raise something?
Yes, thanks, Chris. Summer again, and yeah, again here we're putting the same language from the feedback in the public comment review tool. This time, not in favor of mandatory transformation. It wasn't my impression that we need to actually include all the feedback the working group received in the final reports, and that's why the public comment review will be included in the annex, but rather just sort of list the arguments both in favor and against mandatory transformation as sort of as conclusions by the working group. But it seems a bit redundant to me to actually go through all these comments, provide feedback on them, document those in the public comment review tool, add that to the annex, then again include them in the final report. language itself. So I'm just wondering why we're doing this. Thanks.
Okay, there are a couple of issues there, because if we have a comment in the review tool which is not addressed in the report, then and it is an argument, then we need to add it as an argument, and we probably do well to use pretty similar language. But it's actually very, I think it's very difficult to say often, you know, are these two different arguments, or is it part of another argument, or is it covered by an argument? It's a really gray area, and often we've been erring on the side of, if we're not sure, we tend to add it. So admittedly, the process is a bit heavy, but the reason to come back to it is just to make sure that we are making the right decision. And so one of the options is to say, no, we actually don't need this comment at all. It's already covered, and we really do not need to do it. So that is certainly an option. What we can't do, I think there was an agreement at one stage that we wouldn't delete arguments. So we can only add arguments, and as far as I know, that agreement is still in place, but you know, that's really part of that. Few things going on in the chat room, and Lars has his hand up. I'll do the chat room quickly first, and then go to Lars, I think. So Amro says, I'm not sure why we're including the language not in favor of mandatory transformation in the final report. So I guess there could be an argument we're definitely going to make one set of recommendations, so why are we leaving both sets of arguments in there? Again, I think we have an agreement that we would do that, so I imagine they probably will stay in there. Justine is then saying, I think the second last bullet isn't really an argument because there's no justification given, meaning why best. Yeah, okay. I think that's a really interesting approach. So, you know, we could take the line that we are less keen on arguments with less justification, and we actually actively don't like arguments without justification. I think that feels reasonable. Lars, would you like to pick up something?
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, just very briefly. I think the reasoning is to have it in the report and in the public comment review tool. Just as a caveat, I'm the shorter the report, the more I would like it, regardless of input. I'm all in favor of getting rid of sections and putting it as concise as possible. I think the reasoning here is that this is part of Section 5. I'm just going to sync you all just to page 9 for a second, deliberation recommendations, so that the report here reflects what we've been discussing. So these are arguments that were brought forward by members of the group during the discussions. That doesn't mean that the group supported these. It's just that that's something that the group discussed, this set of the argument, those set of arguments, and then the rationale would be, and at the end, this is what we recommended. Because these arguments, although they were forward, haven't convinced us. And then the annex is the review tool, because these were already part of the initial report, and public comments have come back on this, and this is how the group dealt with these public comments. That's the rationale. Having said that, if the group feels it should be moved out here and just be referenced for the annex, that's perfectly fine as well.
Okay, thank you for that. I sense there are slightly different approaches in the group here. Probably need to think a bit about exactly what the best solution is. What will make it easier is when we actually have a final version of the review tool, which can go in the appendix, and so that then becomes a record, which. So, you know, this is what the this is what the review tool was. We are very, very close to that. I think a few more edits and it's done. Then you know, as I was saying before, you know, these situations where is this the same argument, in which case we don't need to add it? Is it different enough to be added? Is there actually a justification for it? Now, if it's different enough to be added, then it probably should be added, but preferably with a justification. That would make it stronger. We probably need to give some thought about these aspects. The other thing which I was intending to raise, having got through the whole version of this, right at the end, I would have said, well, you know, the other thing is the possibility that some things in the review tool have been missed. You know, that could also have happened. So, and finding things like that tends to be more difficult because looking for non-existence, looking for negatives is more difficult. So that's the other thing that we will be needing to do. But my suggestion is that we do that right at the end. Into any other business, and there's one item I would like to just mention, and that is that next week I am traveling, and it's very unlikely that I can make the call. I will hand over the notes I have on this document to Rudy, who will take it. I think we will really benefit from somebody else's sharing. I've probably done rather too much of this recently, and one person tends to view things in one way, and eventually it's really much better to get different views. So I think I will look forward to listening to your meeting next week, and hope that Rudy will bring his experience to it. And I don't know if there's anybody else wants to raise anything. We've gone slightly over the hour. Anyway, in that case, as I was saying, I can't make next week. I shall listen to the call, obviously, and we'll meet the week after as usual, all going well. So many thanks. We covered a huge amount of ground, I think, this week. Oh, and a last-minute question. Chris, am I still inviting feedback on the review tool? Yes, but this is now this is really the last opportunity. However, that said, we are interested in typos, anything that was garbled, it is possible that we might change the wording on out of scope. That may be slightly rewritten, and it comes up several times. So that's the answer on that question. Okay. Well, many thanks for today, and
thank you, Chris.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye then.
Abby, if you can please stop the recording. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining, and please remember to disconnect all remaining lines. Have a wonderful rest of your day.